For tonight's newscast is Cliff Verla, Nicole Weinstock, Doug McVeigh, Jim Thompson, and Khalil. Our engineer is Sequoyah Wright. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard on the news tonight, here are the phone numbers, so get a pen or something to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Doug McVeigh.
And I'm Nicole Weinstock. Here's what's coming up on KBOO tomorrow morning. At 7, it's Democracy Now!, a news magazine hosted by award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. Wednesday, talk radio follows at 8. Host Paul Rowland invites your calls to discuss news on local, national, and international issues. At 9, it's Political Perspectives, and at 10, hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with host Chris Andre. At 10:15, stay tuned for Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And from 11 to noon, it's The Recovery Zone. On tomorrow's program, solar consultant Jesse Hunter joins host Stephanie Potter for a discussion about climate change and renewable energy. Topics include biofuels versus wind, water and solar energy, the effects on climate from deforestation, and the role of permaculture and vertical farming. Call in with your questions and comments.
And stay tuned now for an interview about racism at the University of Washington, conducted by KBOO's Jenka Soderberg.
KBOO News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Racist statements and actions by members of the Sigma Alpha Epsilon, or SAE, fraternity over the last month have led to a national conversation mainly on social media of the racism faced by students of color at majority white universities. In Seattle, members of the SAE fraternity at the University of Washington allegedly shouted racist slurs at African Americans marching in a Black Lives Matter demonstration as they passed the frat house in late February. The fraternity in question is a branch of the same fraternity implicated in a racist video in Oklahoma. That video shows SAE members from the University of Oklahoma singing and dancing to a racist song that they all seemed to know very well and had obviously sung before. Karen Manarajo is an alumnus of the Black Student Union at the University of Washington. She joins us today to talk about her experience as a student of color at UW. Karen, can you start by telling us about any experiences that you had with this particular fraternity known by its acronym SAE?
From my experience directly with SAE, I can only think of two instances. The first was when I was a freshman, the very first party that I wanted to go to, my friends and I decided that we wanted to go to Greek Row, like many students. And when we arrived at the doors of SAE, there was a group of guys, and we were seeing many people being let in, and we could hear music blasting, and most of the people that we saw being let in were white women. So when we arrived, and this was me and my other Black female friends, we were told that we weren't allowed to come in. And when we questioned the person at the door on why, he told us that it was actually there was no party that was happening, and continued to let people in and told us that it was a private gathering. And that we wouldn't be able to come in. And the more that we asked questions, he just said, if you can't come in and if you keep pushing, then we're going to have to get security and they'll be able to tell you the same thing. And so when we talked to other friends about this, we were wondering, is this normal or is there actually a private gathering that was happening? And the more friends that I talked to, who were also Black, I realized that this wasn't just me, this wasn't just my group of friends, but this was a much larger problem. And it's a common knowledge for many Black students to know that they won't be allowed entry into these spaces. It's something that I seeing these incidences with SAE coming up in the news now, it's not at all surprising.
And I understand that the fraternity SAE Sigma Alpha Epsilon also has a reputation of engaging in sexual assault against women. Can you talk about that reputation?
Yeah. So I know this nickname is also known pretty nationally, but at least at UW, SAE was commonly referred to as sexual assault expected among students. For me, there are three facets as a Black person. It's, while not surprising, it's really painful to continue to hear of students who, in this case, were trying to push for activism towards saying that Black Lives Matter and, having those slurs yelled at them. But on top of that, as a woman, hearing about the not only racism, but then sexism that happens in this community, and generally just fear from women who have experienced these acts of sexual assault to even come forward and make that another issue to talk about. It speaks to much broader systemic and entrenched ideas of racism that intersect when it comes to women that are coming into those spaces, into fraternity spaces. And when you add race on top of that, it contributes to a much larger feeling of whether people of color or women feeling marginalized or unsafe in these spaces. And I think, whether people of SAE members of UW or the fraternity nationally can speak to specific cases, I think the fact that such a nickname can come up and this doesn't fit with the motto that they are talking about with this true gentleman creed, these are issues that they need to really tackle.
And the national organization of Sigma Alpha Epsilon has now said that they are going to be hiring a director of diversity and inclusion and requiring members to participate in mandatory diversity education. What do you think about these steps? Are they actually being genuine in their attempts to curb racism at the fraternity?
I mean, I certainly think that it's a good step towards addressing this controversy that they're facing. And in terms of how it will actually contribute to efforts of diversity, we'll see what kind of attempts they're going to be working on to engage with communities of color. It worries me that something's going to happen where people think just by hiring a director of diversity, it's going to be like window dressing rather than, working on the systemic ideas of why, there aren't enough people of color as fraternity members and trying to actually change that history for them so that it's not just about hiring somebody, but also showing that they're working on institutionally making changes as well.
just on the issue of Sigma Alpha Epsilon, last year they were found to be the deadliest fraternity, with a number of deaths having been reported during pledging and other incidents. Do you think that the organization is worried just about their image, or are they actually trying to make substantial changes to their culture?
Maybe a little bit of both. I mean, nationally, these past few years, and I would say for decades, I think that I would assume that members of the Greek community are, you know, maybe feel under attack, that their reputation is changing before people's eyes. When the reality is that when you have statistics like that of SAE being considered a deadly, one of the deadliest fraternities, it for me speaks to the really tangible lack of security and safety that people are feeling when they're in these spaces, whether it's marginalization or a physical assault or the issues that range in between.
Well, and the response to the incident at the University of Washington was a Twitter hashtag called Wake Up and Hear Me, which I thought was a really moving way for students of color to share their experiences. What do you think it would take to have people wake up and hear the experiences, often really painful ones, as you've pointed out, of students of color in these majority white universities?
Yeah, I'm so happy that the hashtag was so poignantly named, because I think this incident for me was so hard, because it's an experience that for Black people at the UW is just so normalized and didn't feel like news necessarily. It was more just surprising to still have this controversy and this racism to continue to face that. When you're trying to do a march that's showing my life matters, my voice matters, my perspective matters. And so when you have a hashtag like Wake Up and Hear Me, I think the next thing you need to do is, waking up and hearing someone means to have a moment of silence and really listen. And, you know, whatever pain or sense of feeling like you need to defend either the Greek community or your actions or whatever it is, requires taking some time to listen and validate someone's experience just by allowing them to speak. And so, you know, I'm really happy to see people using that hashtag to say their stories. But I think on the other side, for the people that are reading those stories, to not only listen, but then engage and not be so quick to dismiss the pain that someone is trying to share with you for change.
Do you feel like there have been some strides that have changed things, that some things are being changed at the University of Washington? Are there efforts by the Black Student Union that have had some effect?
Oh, yeah. So since I am in Burundi right now, I can't speak to what BSU might be doing, right this second, because I'm not on campus. But From seeing their outreach to the community that supports BSU's efforts and activism, I can see even the diversity requirement at the UW, that was years of activism, of fighting, of really pushing for something that was trying to create the conversations that we're really in need of today. And having students of any background, giving them an opportunity to discuss issues related to diversity or related to the history of people of color. And not just on those issues, but, you know, engaging on being able to accept identities just in the wide range that they're available. And so something like the diversity requirement for me was a huge step from the UW to encouraging conversations among students on a range of issues that relate to diversity.
Can you tell our listeners what that is, the diversity requirement at the University of Washington?
Yeah, so it was a requirement to include courses that would be available in the UW curriculum for students to choose. I don't want to mess it up because when I was there, it was still being pushed on, but it was pushing for at least two classes between by the time a student graduates that were related to diversity. And so these classes could range from taking a course on African-American history to Queer 101 studies or just a range of issues that were included as a diversity that would be counted in the diversity requirement. And so I think this applied to students that were going to be freshmen in the class of 2015 and after.
And are there further steps that you feel are necessary to address this SAE incident and the racism on the campus of University of Washington?
Certainly there are, but I think so far UW reaching out and trying to get evidence of this particular incident is a step, but once again, I can't speak to exactly what's happening between the UW administrators and BSU and SAE.
Well, and we will continue to check in on this incident and this issue. Again, I'm speaking with Karen Monterajo. She's an alumnus of the Black Student Union at the University of Washington. Karen, thank you so much for joining us on KBOO.
Thank you so much.
This is Jenka Soderberg with KBOO News.